Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Well, I think that means goodbye, doesn't it? Well, just so long. Hey, coming up next, Michelle Kirk and Bill Dixon, Natural Resources Police, Hunter Safety Education Program, will be joining us for the hour. And want to learn a lot? If you have any questions, feel free to call in. We'll be glad to take your call. If you want to enter the contest, call in. Aaron will take your name and number without going on the air. How about that? We'll give you a break. Now it's time to say get out, stay safe. Love your family. Love the Lord. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here for the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We have a couple guests with us this morning, and we'd like to welcome Bill Dixon, the supervisor of the Hunters Education Program, Maryland Natural Resources Police, and we'd also like to mention Michelle Kirk, who's the Eastern Regional Coordinator for the Maryland Hunter Safety Program. So, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning,
Al. And I use the term guys. I apologize, Michelle, if I misspoke there. But good morning, Michelle and Bill. So glad to have you with us this morning. Talk about hunter education. But first of all, let's talk about Bill and Michelle. So, Bill, how long have you been with the program?
So I've been with the Hunter Ed program for I'm up on 3 years now in an official capacity. I'm an Allegheny County guy. I live up here outside of Cumberland, and
yep.
A retired police officer, and got hired on this job about 3 years. Really enjoyed it so far.
Good. Good. Michelle?
I've been doing almost 5 years.
There you go.
I started in the southern region and switched over to the eastern region rather quickly, and have covered now all the regions at one time or another across the state.
Got it. Got it. Well, that's good. So you've met a broad swath of Marylanders and their little regional differences and things like that. That's great. That's great. That's very good experience for sure. So I remember I took my hunter safety course in Pennsylvania when I was 12 years old, 1966. And when I came to Maryland, I redid it twice. I took the bow hunter education program. I took the muzzleloader safety program. Muzzleloader I took at the Howard County Fairgrounds, and the bowhunter education program I took at Patuxent Wildlife Research there at MNHA building, the Hunter building there,
yep.
The Meade Natural Heritage Association building. So tell me about how hunter safety education got started here in Maryland and why.
Okay, so it started in the late 60s, early 70s.
Michelle, I have a question. Michelle, before we go on, I'm sorry. Do you have the radio on in the background?
I do not.
Okay, I'm hearing some background stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're hearing?
Yeah, and I'm hearing it too.
Okay, got it. I apologize. Just go ahead and start over. We're fine.
So is this better?
Yes, thank you.
Away from the computer. Okay, let me grab my stuff. I'm moving away from the computer. Well,
got some other stuff going on there.
All together, yeah.
Take a minute. We're fine. No problem.
Okay. I've been banished to another room. We should be good now.
You've been banished to a another room. I got it. No problem at all. So, you guys are in the same office together, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, are you in Stevensville or are you in Western Maryland?
We are actually right now in Western Maryland. We're up at Camp Baker, the new Sidling Hill Park.
Great. Yeah.
Actually, I believe was just dedicated last year.
Okay.
It's up here, just inside of Allegheny County.
Right. We'll be coming up that way on the 17th. I don't know if either of you will be able to make it up to the National Deer Association event, the Mountain Maryland event, on the 17th in Oakland. It's up there at the South Mountain Rescue Building, but we'll be measuring deer up there for the record book program. So
you guys do that every year, don't you?
Well, yes, we have since they've invited us. This will be our fourth year in a row. Yep, a lot of great bucks up there for sure, no question. So, and bears, we like to see the bears too. So, and we'll have our record book for sale, and we'll have our measures there to measure some of those great Garrett Allegheny County deer. So, can't wait. All right. Are we squared up yet?
Yes, we.
Okay.
Good. I just.
Okay. Uh-oh. Lost your cheat sheet. Didn't you?
No, I didn't lose my cheat sheet.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to go back to how it came about. When we started the hunter safety courses, and of course all of our instructors are volunteers.
Sure.
And they've always have been. And it was interesting is the other day we do instructor update courses.
Right.
And I met an instructor at a team in Carroll County that has been doing it since 1968.
Wow.
And we, you know, just conversed a little bit about how it's come around. You know, back then it wasn't until, you know, when it was first started, it wasn't mandatory. You know, it was suggested. It was a really good idea to start with these classes. And he said that they had very minimum material. And, you know, as they got things, it was wonderful. They started with, you know, posters and you know, articles. And they would bring in their own firearms and their own archery equipment, their own muzzler. Everything was brought in by the instructor at that time.
I remember that, yeah. So that's an early class in 68, you said.
1968.
Yeah, and that's kind of the beginning where, you know, where these guys were stepping up to do this? Was the course required? It was not required back then. When did it become required to get a hunting license in Maryland?
They started that through the legislature in 1977. It was a requirement.
Right.
And, you know, most of us, I think, when we have this conversation, everybody says, well, that's when I got my hunter education card. And
right.
That's just like a terminology thing, right? The law says specifically you have to have a certificate of competency, which is the legal term for your card. And
right.
That's when it went on the book, right? So that's what you get when you come to class and you take your hunter ed course. You get a little
card,
and that's your certificate of competency. Correct.
I got it. Okay, and that's why when you apply for your hunting license, they ask you if you hunted before 1977, which means you were exempt at that time from the hunter safety education course, and you have to sign that affidavit.
Right, so it's a certification on your part when you sign that, right?
Right, got it. Yep. Okay. So there we go with the little history of the program, 1977. So that goes back a long ways, which I mean, from now it's a long time ago, 50 years,
right.
Almost.
And that was given under the the responsibility for doing that is through the Department of Natural Resources, and
right.
You know, of course, within Natural Resources, they have their enforcement arm, which is Natural Resources Police, and
right.
Inside the Natural Resources Police, they have a safety and education unit, and that's where we fall. You have
that's
hunter safety, you have boating safety, and you have reserve officers. And we
right.
are the hunter education section of that unit.
Right. I got you. I got you. All right. So that's kind of how it works. So we've got a lot of changes here in the last few years to how to obtain a hunting license, including courses for such people as apprentice licenses and things like that, and there have been changes to that program. So why don't we get ourselves collected on that, and we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the different types of classes. How's that sound?
Great.
Great.
All right. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. All right, folks, backyard billies. Let's talk about backyard billies. Now, look, it's been hot. There's been no question how hot it's been. But I will tell you this. It is time now to start thinking about your supplementary heat, your supplemental heat system in your house. You know, oil is still expensive. Gas is not as expensive. But, you know, if you have that old fireplace and you're tired of hauling wood and you want to change it to something else, you can do that very easily, like we did. We had that hole in the wall here in our back room where I'm sitting right now, and it was a little old brick fireplace, and it sat there and just sucked the heat out of the room. Well, we visited Backyard Billy's, and now we have a beautiful fireplace there with a stone background that goes all the way up to the ceiling. It's got a nice century-old mantle on it. It's got a beautiful hearth, and it's got this firebox that is powered by gas. And when we hit the button on the remote control, the fireplace heat fires up, and it looks like we've had a fire burning in there for a couple of hours. It's beautiful. Backyard Billy supplied that. It's an Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert. Now, if you don't like gas, we happen to have the gas connection here in the house, you can have it hooked up for pellets and feed those pellets in. And Backyard Billy sells pellets by the bag and by the pallet if you need. But you can convert that old fireplace to a pellet burning stove or a wood burning insert. They have all of that. A company by the name of Regency has that. So that's just one way. Another way is to have a freestanding pellet or wood stove. And, you know, you can use that to heat a room. You can use that to heat an outbuilding or whatever you'd like. And all that is available at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Enviro, Regency, and a bunch of other brands of pellet, gas, electric, or wood stoves from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. You can select whatever your favorite is. So why not stop into the showroom? You'll be ready for the future cold weather. I know it's hard to talk about cold weather when it's 90 out. I get that. But it will be here sooner than you think. It's time to get ready. BackyardBillies.com, Hearth America Facebook page, 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, open 7 days a week. Why not stop by today, tomorrow, Route 50 at Exit 44B, Evans Avenue in Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace. Now let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop just for a second. I have a couple of autoloader firearms, a couple of autoloader shotguns. I think I have three or four of those. I have a Ruger Ranch rifle in 5.56, but I don't have I have a nylon 6622, believe it or not, from my youth. The auto-loading BAR MK2 Safari is a high-powered auto-loader rifle, centerfire rifle. This is a traditionally styled firearm with a walnut stock, a hammer-forged barrel, and a polished blued and engraved steel receiver. It's beautiful. It's got reliable gas piston operation that gets you ready for that second shot in a detachable box magazine. You can see the BAR MK2 Safari model and the other BAR models available at Clyde's Sports Shop. It might be one to add to your collection. And then there's the X-Bolt Hunter. The X-Bolt, you know, the medallion is the polished walnut stock, but the Hunter, that's some more bare bones. That's the one you want to carry in the woods if you're you're out there every day of the season for firearm season. The X-Bolt Hunter series is an accurate bolt-action rifle. It's got a detachable rotary magazine, a short throw bolt, and an adjustable trigger, and it might be the firearm for you. See both these great high-powered centerfire rifles at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number is 410-242-6108, 242-6108. And check out, and I said Lansdowne again, didn't I? It's actually Halethorpe. Check out the new website, ClydeSportShop.com. Two S's in the middle, ClydeSportShop.com. You'll be glad you did. You can see a lot of stuff there at Clyde's. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number is 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your MilSpec liner installed.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Filling coolers, loading up. Whether it be Mag, Marty, Robin's turned up. The boys, I'm getting nervous. My knees are getting weak. I can almost see them coming out of them trees. Big bulls, big bucks, mountain roads and pickup trucks. Hunting all day just to catch a glimpse of. Big bulls, big bucks. Yeah.
All right. We'll have to change that to big stags and big bucks for Maryland here, that's for sure. All right. Back with Michelle Kirk and Bill Dixon with the Maryland Natural Resources Police Hunter Safety Program. So we gave you a little lead up there about the different types of classes and the apprentice program, and I believe that program was just changed last year or so. Tell us about that, one of somebody, please.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful development in the state, and it really did a lot more for the Hunter's Ed program than I think a lot of people realize, because the downside to a Hunter's Ed program that doesn't have an apprentice license in the state is that you get a lot of younger students who come into the class and aren't quite ready, and, you know, the standards are the standards, right? You have to uphold the standards, and so they have a negative experience where they maybe they struggle with the class or don't pass the class. And this gives us an opportunity for a young hunter, you know, with his mentor or his family or whoever's going to take him out hunting to be able to actually go out and still continue to do what they want to do and enjoy what they want to enjoy without pushing them too early into the classroom.
Okay. Michelle, do you deal with some of the younger folks? I mean, when you, I'm assuming you attend some of these classes that are run by your teams across the state. Are you hands-on with some of these younger hunters?
Yes. And this, and as Bill said, I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity because a lot of these kids come into these classes, and some of them are ready. You know, some of the younger folks, they are ready for the class. But a lot of them are not, and they have that option. If they still want to come to the class and go through the class, just knowing, you know, they still have this apprentice license that they can do, and some parents still bring them to the class to go through the class, and then they take advantage of the apprentice license. But that license does give them the opportunity to get out there, you know, with a parent or with a mentor and get some of that, you know, under their belt before they come into the class, because some of the terminology of our classes are for fifth grade on.
Right.
That's how our material is written. So, if, you know, some of them can't follow the class. They're just not ready for it yet.
I think the parents sometimes are more ready than the child is. So, you know, more anxious for the child to get, you know, to get involved. And I will say, in this day, this is a little bit of commentary on that. I will say that in Pennsylvania when I started, and I don't know what it is now, it was 12 years old before you could take a hunter safety education course. And I did when I was 12. But I think at this point, when we get to 12 years old, other interests have taken hold in a child's life, whether that's, you know, friends in sports, school activities, you know, the screen time with the video games and that type of thing. And I think that because Maryland does not have a minimum age for hunter safety education, I think that's a wonderful thing. I do. And, you know, that they don't have to wait till, you know, a certain age to take that course. Right. So even if they start at 8 or 9 years old and then, you know, maybe they don't make the first year, but then they try harder the second year and they can do it online and they can get that apprentice license so that the parents can actually get them in the field and teach them hunter safety, you know, home hunter safety, you know, the safety aspects of handling a firearm or a bow or a crossbow or whatever it might be, and shoot, don't shoot situations taught by the parents rather than mandated by the state.
Well, the hunter safety program, you know, it does, from its infancy, kind of assumes that when you leave the classroom, you're going to have a mentor, you know, that's going to continue that safety education. And you know, the demographics of your hunter education students are changing. You know, we are getting a little bit older of a student these days who still need that mentorship. Some people we call them adult onset hunters, right? And you know, this locavore class of people who are trying to find alternative ways of putting meat in the refrigerator, and you know, we're trying to address the changing audience in our classroom, but still you still have that traditional student, and the apprentice license gives them an opportunity to spend that mentorship time with their family member, whoever it is, be in compliance with the law and not have like a negative experience with the hunter ed program by being pushed into it too early.
Sure. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So you guys are all volunteers. Nobody gets paid. I mean, you guys do. Of course, you're employees of the state of Maryland, and you've got the great responsibility to make sure, you know, the trains run on time. So how are you guys funded? Is it hunting license sales or, you know, budget? How are you guys funded?
Well, it's a big part of our class is kind of most people's first introduction to what commonly referred to as Pittman-Robertson Act, you know, the Wildlife Restoration Act, which is a wonderful piece of legislation that came around in 1937 and has lasted a long time, survived many challenges, and has in fact thrived and grown. And essentially, that's the distribution of funds, you know, from the federal agency, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, to the states. You know, it comes to us for a couple of different avenues. You know, it's an excise tax that's imposed on manufacture of firearms, ammunition, archery accessories, and then distributed to the states based on a couple of different factors, you know, population, license sales, things like that, like you mentioned.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. So it's an excise tax that's paid by the manufacturer.
That's correct.
And then passed on to the wholesale people, passed on to the retailers, and eventually passed on to us. It's a user pays, everybody benefits, because this is the money that goes to buy public hunting land, which is also, you know, open to the public for, you know, I like to say hikers, bikers, backpackers, kayakers, and bird watchers. The
right.
Same, you know, the same, the user groups that don't have any impact as far as paying for that property or the maintenance of it are able to take, you know, the benefit of the dollars through the Wildlife Restoration Act, which is paid for by hunters. So
it's an extremely important point, right? You know, the user pays his way, essentially. And, you know, a lot of people
yeah.
are only exposed to this through when they come to a hunter's ed class. Might be the only time they have, like, an official
right.
conversation about this. But your hunter's
education
is only one aspect of it. You know, there's restoration, conservation, and shooting facilities are other aspects that get paid for by Pittman Robinson.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And, you know, like you said, wildlife research and, you know, shooting ranges and that type of thing. That's true. That is absolutely true. So, very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, anything else you want to talk about as far as the in-course instruction, you know, how that works? I mean, how many hours or how many days or, you know, what is the start and end of a hunter safety education session? Is it a number of weeks? You go every Thursday for so many hours, or is it a 3-day event, or how does it work?
So we have our traditional classroom course, and that's
okay.
usually anywhere from 10 to 15 hours, and it is over a couple of days. You know, it could be like a Wednesday evening, a Friday evening, and then a field day on a Saturday. And this field
right.
day consists of a trail walk, and then we have our live fire component, and then we have our written test. And that is also the same field day pretty much that's going to coincide with our hybrid course that is taken online. And then when the student completes that, they bring a voucher that they've completed that course, and then they attend a field day. The field day
okay.
is very important. Because it goes through whether you took the traditional class or the hybrid class, it shows what the student has learned. You know, the gun carries and the shoot, non-shoot, and ethics. And we can see that as an instructor, that the student has, you know, got the concept of safety, you know, the safe aspects of hunting. And then we go to the range to make sure that they have all the safe components of handling a firearm. And shooting the
okay.
firearm. And then they
yep.
have the written test. And once they complete all three of those, then they get their hunter safety card.
Got it. So it is a process. It's not just show up and get your card. It's you've got to learn something. You got to demonstrate what you've learned. You got to demonstrate it on paper and physically on the range. And then you get your card. It's not a participation medal. You've got to earn what you get.
Yes.
Got it.
We take hunter safety very, very seriously.
I got you. All right. Well, maybe somebody out there would want to become an instructor. Let's talk about that after the break. But before that, I want to read you something addressed to me and you. The subject line is Michelle and Bill. Alan, I was proud to have supervised two people who are dedicated to educating citizens with hunter safety education, which is why Maryland has so few hunting-related accidents/incidents. Plus, Michelle is a proud, dedicated Ravens fan. LOL. Guess who that's from? Guess who that email's from?
That's got to be Scott Forrest.
That's not, no, that's Lieutenant Cameron Brown. Cam Brown, yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, we're reaching back a little farther.
Uh-huh. So, all right, we're gonna take a break, and then we'll get right back to you guys, and we'll talk about becoming a hunter education instructor. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Wonderful.
All right. So, Spurrier's Tire Service. You know, I love talking about these guys because they've done a world of good for me. They've repaired my vehicle. They provided tires and, you know, tires on Robin's car. And yesterday I got a call. Hey, Alan, I'm supporting one of your sponsors, my son-in-law. Oh, who's that? Spurrier's Tire Service. I said, oh, well, good. I'm glad you picked him. He said, no, I didn't pick him. My company told me to come here. I'm like, okay, well, you know, they put tires on your car and on your wife's car and on your, you know, on your mother's car. And, you know, so it's kind of a family thing. It really is. And that's the way it is here. Spurrier's Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50 in Easton. That's where the locals and the local businesses, I will say, get their tires and their auto service work done. They feature American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, but they have all the rest, the Michelin, the Yokohama, the Colonial, you name it, they've got it. Spurrier's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, that's any make, any model. You go in there and you see anything from the little, you see the sports cars in there, you see the tractor trailers in there, you see the farm equipment in there, you see all the commercial vehicles with their names on the side, you know, the working man, the plumbers and the contractors and the painters and you know, the guys with their trailers. Spurrier's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard, garden tractors to farm tractors and all the farm equipment. Even have a on-the-site farm service as well. If you own a trailer of any kind, you know, any kind of trailer you pull behind any kind of vehicle, well, Spurrier's has the tires for that. If you've got an ATV, a UTV, a RTV, they've got it all. Spurrier's has the tire. Spurrier's offers tire repair, full service automotive repair. They'll check, they'll diagnose, and they'll repair your vehicle when that check engine light comes on. They'll get it done. They have a 24-hour truck service, and all that and more has kept Spurrier's customers, including Robin and me and our family, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires. Call Spurrier's Tire Service in Easton, 410-822-7384. Did I mention there's no appointment needed for tires? Maybe I did. Their website, spurrierstire.com, 410-822-7384 for Spurrier's Tire Service. We'll do Clyde's Sports Shop one more time. There is a beautiful shotgun in there for you waterfowlers called a Wicked Wing. It's available in vintage camo, you know, the old-style camo back in when I started hunting. Yep, the blotchy pattern, it looks pretty cool. But the Wicked Wing A5 has a bronze receiver and a bronze barrel, and it all looks very beautiful, very camouflagey, super reliable, auto-loading duck-hunting shotgun featuring a kinematic drive recoil operation, composite stock, a Cerakote burnt bronze camo finish on the receiver, Cerakote burnt bronze on the barrel, oversized bolt release, extended Invector DS goose band choke tubes, and a corrosion and resistant chrome bore. It's got an ABS case included in the package, and that's the A5 Wicked Wing available at Clyde Sport Shop. It's a Browning A5 Wicked Wing vintage camo. Then they have the Maxis 2. The Maxis 2 is available in the proprietary camouflage of Browning called Auric, A-U-I-C. Reliable gas-operated auto-loading shotgun with additional enhancements to improve performance. Composite stock with soft flex cheek pad and inflex recoil pad and oversized controls. Auric, A-U-R-I-C. What famous villain had Auric as a first name? There's our trivia question for the day. Point is that these fine Browning autoloader shotguns are available from Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Halethorpe. Why not stop by? The phone number there is 242-6108. That's 242-6108. The new website is ClydeSportsShop.com, ClydeSportShop.com. Look it up. I'm sure you'll be happy with that, and they are open 7 days a week. Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer. And we'll be right back.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection. Ammunition, too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
All right. Hey, do you have that fireplace, that old hole in the wall that you're looking at and you go, I need to do something about that. I'm not hauling wood anymore this winter. I'm tired of smoking up the place. I'm tired of, you know, hauling wood and stacking wood and having all that dirty stuff inside the house here, even though it stacks up beautifully alongside the fireplace. But I'm tired of it. So let's do something. Well, I have the solution. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, they can fill that old hole in the wall with a beautiful gas fireplace insert. Do like we did and take a look at the gas fireplace inserts from Enviro or Regency. And they'll help you with everything. The installation, you know, the chimney work that needs to be done, they can help, they can send a mason there to help you put up the brickwork and framework around that like they did here. You know, mount the mantle and create a nice hearth for you in front of it if you want, or just work with what you got. Do the insert in the chimney. It's all very reasonably priced, and that's why Robin and I turned to Backyard Billy's to buy our Enviro EX35 remote control gas fireplace insert. Now, you can do the same thing, but you can do it with a pellet insert if you want. You can do it with a gas insert like we have. You can do it with a wood insert. You know, you still have got to carry the wood if you want, but it's not what you think. You can get a freestanding wood stove, a freestanding pellet stove. You can get an electric insert if your HOA doesn't allow you to have gas or wood or anything else in there. And it looks just like a real fire. It's beautiful. Beautiful stuff. Yep. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. That's the place. That is the place. You can check out the complete selection of gas fireplace inserts and freestanding wood and pellet stoves at Backyard Billy's. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. They're located on Drummer, which is right off of Route 50, exit 44, Evans Avenue. If you're coming from the bridge, just, you know, get off on Evans Avenue. There's a boat dealer there. You make the right, and you make the next right onto Drummer, and you'll find them. You're going to go past them on 50 anyway, so you just kind of circle around and go in the front. And, you know, you can see all this stuff in their backyard at Backyard Billy's. You can see the tables and the chairs and the sheds and all that stuff. And all the big stuff is really nice. It's free delivery within 60 miles and setup, too, and free setup and delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. So you ought to consider that. We got a nice email from a customer who bought some of their one of their decorations, one of their lighthouses, 20 years ago. Quality stuff. Said looks still looks great, you know. And his son and wife just purchased a gym set from Backyard Billy's for the kids. So all that's there, Backyard Billy's in Hearth America. BackyardBillies.com, 410-827-4500, 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace. We'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, MadonnaSeafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truckliners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market, and MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle box, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Maryland Spray Linings. That's just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment to have your truck protected with a MilSpec liner today.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
680 WCBM.
All right, we're back with Michelle and Bill. Good morning again, guys. Thanks for joining us again. We were talking about the different courses and the qualifications that that people need, but just want to touch base on anybody that's listening that might want to get involved in helping out and become a volunteer hunter education instructor. What is that process all about?
We accept applications from anyone that is at least 21 years old. You need 3 years of hunting experience.
Okay.
You need to be a high school graduate or possess an equivalency to that.
Sure.
And they have to be, have taken a hunter education course. Most importantly, when they apply, we want them to be very accurate with their information, and they have to pass a background investigation. But the process is actually very simple. They go online. You can go in Maryland DNR to the hunting course page. And at the very, very bottom, it gives how to become an instructor. You can click on that. And then there's a link that takes you right to a portal, and you fill out the portal. And that just asks some very basic questions. But it prompts us, the coordinator in the region that you are applying from, and it prompts us to send you the information that, additional that you need to fill out. And we follow
right.
you along that process. We keep in touch with you through that process. We will help you. There's no cost to you. When you do the background check and the fingerprinting, that is all paid for by the state.
Okay.
But we're really looking for some more instructors to come on. It's very rewarding. Working with the public, getting them educated, you know, to be a really good safe hunter out there. And, you know, some people belong to clubs and organizations that don't have a team. And they have the facility and, you know, the beans and the people that really want to start their own team at their facility. And we really encourage, you know, new teams to come on also. And we will get them started. We outfit teams with everything that you need. You know, we provide the inert training firearms. We provide the classroom, all the materials that needed for the classroom. We provide, you know, the teams with the computers and the projectors and the screens and the fake ammunition and, you know, just everything that the team needs to run an efficient class and the field day.
Got it.
You know, we have the decoys and the fences and it's really important.
All of the above, huh?
Yes.
In other words, everything's provided. Just show up and teach. You get to all the materials. You get all the support stuff and the manuals and everything else. All you have to do is share your knowledge with the manual.
Yes, and a lot of people
and your hands on experience too, of course. So.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of people are like, you know, I never thought about becoming a hunter instructor. How do I even become one?
Sure.
And it is very simple. It is very, very simple.
So
well, there you go.
We do teach, and it's important to know, you know, that it's a team structured environment, right? So we teach in teams, and you know, there's no individuals out there giving individual hunting classes. That shouldn't happen. If anybody's finding that, that's probably not the state of Maryland doing that, right? So we bring new people into existing teams, and we'll stand up new teams. And we do provide a new instructor workshop for everybody who comes into the program so that, you're not having to invent this stuff on your own. You know, we provide the curriculum, the manuals, like you said, but we also, you know, you'll go through a class where one of our staff will come, you know, with a group of new instructors and sit down and say, here's how this works. You know, you don't have to invent the wheel.
Right. I got it. Well, that's, you know, that's quite
a team.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. If you don't, you know, if you don't have a team too, we will find a team that's in your area that's a good fit for you once you, you know, become an instructor to work with.
Okay.
And the first year when you become an instructor, you're a provisional instructor. So as Bill said, you know, we're with you all the way.
Got it. Well, it sounds like you guys have that part of it well covered. And ready to go. I mean, I know some of these guys from all across the state and, you know, worked with them for years. And I mentioned to Michelle and Bill some of the folks that I worked with in the past and was actually, quite frankly, given a nice award by Natural Resources Police Hunter Safety back, I don't know, 1990, something like that, 95, whenever that 150th anniversary, 125th anniversary, where the print was done and the Oyster Police were on there, they actually gave me one of those and spoke to the group at a banquet that was, you know, a banquet, a get-together, hamburgers and hot dogs, you know, one of those deals. And, I always supported you guys and, you know, as Cam Brown said, we have very, very few hunter-related accidents. The major one is somebody having a medical emergency, or I guess the worst one is falling out of a tree stand because they're not paying attention and using their safety equipment, as you guys are, you know, emphasize as far as, you know, archery season coming up. We got a lot of guys climbing a lot of trees. And there's so many resources online on how to stay safe when you're elevated above ground level, and so many tools available, like your hunter safety harnesses and things like that.
It's interesting when you let off the program about how you had attended certain classes, and you mentioned both the bowhunter program and the muzzleloader program, and I think a lot of people aren't quite aware that, you know, those programs do exist. It's not always your basic, you know, hunter safety course. You know, we offer some other stuff, but they're not as popular because, generally speaking, they're not required by law like the basic hunter safety course. But you know, it's important to look down the road, you know, if you're a Maryland resident who's planning on going to a state out west to hunt, you know, elk or something like that with a bow, you got to check the local laws. So there's a lot of states out there. There's 11 states that do require a bow hunter education course. And of course, if you took that class with us here in Maryland, that would you know, all the states recognize each other's hunter safety programs. So
yeah, and that's the National Bow Hunters Education, National Bow Hunters Education Program, NBEP, and you get a card for that too, a certification of competence. So, you know, and I remember we had to guess ranges and shoot, you know, that time. It was quite an interesting course, no question. So. And you say those courses are still available?
Yeah, and, you know, I looked last night. I looked, if you look on the website, if you Google Maryland Hunter Education, you'll come to the site that Michelle mentioned, and there's a section on there that has the class schedules, and that's where you go on to register for any of our classes. There are two bow hunter classes that are on the books right now that you can register for today. Both of them happen to be on August 24th. One's in Calvert County Sportsman's Club in Prince Frederick, and the other's at the Frederick County IWLA in Frederick, Maryland. So two different sections of the state. We also, it's kind of exciting development for us, we're trying to reinvigorate the muzzleloader instructor education, or the muzzleloader education program. And you can register for the first muzzleloader class that's been offered by the state in several years is open, and it's scheduled right now for August the 5th in Frederick. And so
August 5th is gone, buddy.
October 5th. I'm sorry.
October 5th, right before the early season.
Yeah.
Well, I announced earlier in the hour that we've come to an agreement again for, I think, the 17th or 18th year in a row now with fine folks at CVA, Connecticut Valley Arms. We're going to be giving away three, maybe four CVA muzzleloaders this year. And I try to keep up to date on it. I own several CVAs. I just ordered another one. And we're rolling on the muzzleloader giveaway September, October, November. So it's good timing on your part. And I've taken that course. It's a great course. And with the new primitive season, a lot of people need to learn about, you know, the basics of muzzleloading. So wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bill, Michelle, there's the music. Any final thoughts here in the next 10 seconds?
No, thank you for having us, Alan. It's really important for us to have a voice publicly. I appreciate you letting us have that opportunity.
Well, let's do it again before firearm season. And we'll talk about safety. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you, Bill. All right, folks, there they go. And it's time for me to say get out, stay safe. Hunting season's coming. You guys are going to be away from your family. Make sure they know you love them. And love the Lord. See you next week.